When I was about 8 or 9, I decided I was going to sleep on the couch that night so that I could see Santa Claus when he came. I was bound and determined I would not fall asleep. I was going to stay awake. And my mother, ever so wise, who probably knew I would never stay awake, said, "Sure, you can sleep on the couch." So I had my blanket and I'm on the couch and I'm watching the tree lights, and I'm sure we had some Christmas music playing somewhere, or I was just humming Christmas songs. I don't know, but I laid there and I thought about how cool it was going to be to see Santa Claus when he came to bring presents. I had a big smile on my face. I just kept waiting, and I'd toss and I'd turn, and then I'd sit up, and then I'd lay down, and then I'd watch and I'd wait. I kept looking at the tree. I don't know why I thought he would magically appear behind the tree, but I kept my eyes on that tree. And eventually my eyes grew heavy and I fell asleep, only to wake up in the morning and realize that I did not see Santa Claus that night. But I was happy nonetheless because there were presents under the tree. We all have moments of things that we're looking for. And with that thought, let's have prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we invite you to our presence this morning to be here with each one of us. Again, as we read from your word, this beautiful Christmas story that has been written for us. And what can it mean to us in our day and time in 2018? May the Holy Spirit be with us to help us increase in our knowledge and our wisdom and our love for you as once again we explore this beautiful story. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to do a little recap from last week, the Christmas program that we had that was wonderful, about the Christmas story. And it starts with the birth of Jesus, where Mary, who is heavy with child, is on a donkey, and she and Joseph are making their way to Bethlehem, where they have to go because they've been called legally to do so. So they were being good citizens and abiding by the law, going to their hometown where a census would be taken. Now, before this happened, we have to back up just a little bit and look at Mary, who was a young girl who was probably just living her life when one day an angel appears to her. Now, think about it. How many of us can actually say we've had an angel appear before us and talk to us? It would be an amazing thing. So here's Mary, this young girl, and an angel appears to her and tells her that she's going to be the mother of Jesus. And her question is, how can this be? I'm not married. How can I have a child? And so the angel explains it to her. And Mary, this young girl, says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled in me." So now we backtrack to here she is. She and Joseph, they're in Bethlehem, and they're looking for a place for her to stay so that she can have this child. Well, nope, let's go back again. Here's Joseph with Mary, and there's a little bit of a story there too, wasn't there? Who appeared to Joseph? An angel. He's a grown man, and an angel appears to him and tells him that this girl you're going to marry is going to have a baby. And he's going, how can that be? And the angel explains it to him and says, it's all planned. And Joseph says, I'm your servant. I will do as I have been asked to do. So Joseph agrees to what the angel says. He will marry Mary, even though she's already with child, and he knows the challenges they're going to go through with that. So they are two people who have been approached by an angel. They've been given this mission. They're both in agreement, and the mission has begun. So now they're in Bethlehem, and they're at the inn where there is no room, and they're taken out to the stable, the only place where there was space with shelter for Mary to give birth. Now, while this is happening, there's a group of shepherds that are out in the field, and I'm going to just venture that, you know, maybe while they're out there, they're talking about Scripture. They're discussing among themselves. They're kind of having a Sabbath school class. You know, we keep hearing these stories about the Messiah, and the Scripture tells us, you know, that the Messiah is going to come. I wonder when that's going to be, and I hope that I can see that someday, or will we get to see that someday? I don't know how the discussion went, but they're out there, and they're having this talk, and then all of a sudden, guess who appears? An angel before them and said, oh, don't be afraid, because again, here's another person that's like, what is going on? And tells them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then suddenly, we go from one angel to a company of angels. Now, military people, how many is a company? Is it 100? 120? I know it's somewhere around 100. So we go from one angel to a company of angels who light up the sky, and they're singing to the shepherds, and they're telling them this great news. And the shepherds could have jumped up and ran away, but they didn't. And why do you think that is? Because they'd been having a Bible study, and they'd been talking about Jesus, and they'd been saying, we're waiting on the Lord to come. And here's this angel who comes before them and says, I bring you good news that the Messiah has come. Go and find him. And they did. The shepherds, when the angels had left them, the shepherds said to one another, let us go and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So off they go to find Mary. Mary's in this stable. She has this baby. The shepherds appear, and they're going, you won't believe what happened. What happened to us? We can't even begin to explain it. It's just unbelievable. And they're telling Mary about how these angels came and sang to them and gave them this message and told them where to go. And Mary listened and treasured all this up in her heart as she realized yet again a part that she played in this great mission. Normally, that's where we stop the Christmas story. Well, there is one more little part. The wise men, the magi, they come in. Again, we're not real sure when exactly this occurs, but we have the magi that come, and they bring presents with them. And they've come because of why? They've been following the star. They've been searching for the Messiah. And when the star stopped over this one place, they knew that they had found what they had been looking for. And so they went in and told Mary of their experience and their journey, and they brought before them gifts. They brought with them to lay before Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And there's another little interesting part of the story where when the Magi leave, they go an alternate route because they've been given a dream by an angel not to go back the way they had come. So normally this is where we end the Christmas story, with the birth of Jesus, the shepherds, the wise men, and it's a beautiful story, the Mary, the servant girl, Joseph, the father, and we love that story. But as I was thinking of what I wanted to talk about, I was inspired to pick up a particular book that I have, and one of the stories in it caught my attention, and I thought, this is the rest of the story. Do you see what I see? Mary and Joseph take Jesus into the temple 8 days after his birth for the circumcision. Then they have to wait 40 days, according to the traditional laws, for Mary to reach a point of what they call cleanliness to be considered eligible to return inside the temple courts. So this is over a month later. Jesus is a month old now. Mary and Joseph take the baby Jesus into the temple to worship. It's like going back to church after being out for a while, and they were really glad to be going to the church. And they also had to take a little offering, which was what was required of Mary, to show that she had done as had been required of her in reaching the timeline before returning to the temple. So Mary brings a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And I read a little phrase that said, isn't it interesting that Mary brings a sacrifice of two doves when she's carrying the sacrifice of the world in her arms? Quite a comparison to think about. So they're in the temple, and while they're in the temple, there was a man called Simon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. I'm going to stop right there because this is what Simon has been waiting for. And I want to just read the lyrics to a song, and I'm not sure how old this is, probably from the 80s. It's actually a song that was sung by Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton. Some of you may have heard it. It's called Once Upon a Christmas. Once upon a Christmas, far away in Bethlehem, Mary, being great with child, had no place to lie down. So Joseph found a stable in which Mary had her child. Once upon a Christmas was the birth of Jesus Christ. Once upon a Christmas in a manger far away, a king was born. His palace was a manger filled with hay. His royal robe was swaddling cloth. A halo was his crown. Once upon a Christmas away in Bethlehem. But all the world rejoiced because the king was born at last. A savior had been promised, and now it had come to pass. And as the joyful news spread that the Christ was born, it went quickly far and wide that once upon a Christmas was the birth of Jesus Christ. Once upon a Christmas from the far east wise men came with gold and myrrh and frankincense to praise the newborn king. And shepherds left their flocks and came to see and worship him once upon a Christmas away in Bethlehem. And all the world rejoiced because the king was born at last. A savior had been promised. Now it had come to pass. And the joyful news that he was born spread quickly far and wide. Once upon a Christmas was the birth of Jesus Christ. Did Simon hear the news as it was spread far and wide? It doesn't say that in Scripture. It says that Simon was led by the Holy Spirit and that he was moved by the Spirit in the temple courts, hearing the Holy Spirit tell him, he is here. The Messiah is here. Simon went through the courts in search of the babe and found him. And he went up to Mary and took the babe from her arms and praised God. Now, this is kind of another little thing, interesting thing to think about. If you were a young girl with a newborn babe in your arms, and this man that you had never met before walks up to you and takes your baby out of your arms, what are you going to do? This was a spirit-filled moment. Mary saw in Simeon, that he was a man of God. And she could trust her babe in his arms. So she hands him over willingly, and Simeon has the babe and says, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Does that mean that now he's seen the babe, he can go on his way? It does mean that he can go on his way, but in a different way than what we tend to think of. Simeon's wish was that he would see the baby before he died. And now that he has seen the Christ child, he says, I'm ready to die. My time on earth is up. I have waited and prophesied for a long time. And now, dear Lord, you can dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for a revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And again, Mary and Joseph marveled at what they were hearing being said about the baby Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Now that's quite a parting thought from Simeon to Mary. At one moment, she recognizes a spirit-filled moment and gladly releases her babe into the arms of Simeon. And then as Simeon is handing the baby back, his parting words are, and a sword will pierce your soul too. She's a young girl. She's trying to understand, what does that mean? I have so much to learn. And even Joseph, it's like, what does this mean? They pondered over what they heard. And that could be a little bit discouraging you to think about as the babe is handed back in your arms. What a thought to just leave hanging in the air. But the story doesn't end there quite yet. There in the temple on the same day is the prophetess Anna. She has lived in the temple for most of her life. She worships day and night, fasting and praying. She is looking for the Messiah. It doesn't say very much about Anna other than that she was old. She had been widowed most of her life, and that she never left the temple, so we're assuming she had a room there, that she lived there, a place where widows could stay. But here's another spirit-filled moment. Anna is in the temple, and she realizes the Savior is there. And as she's going through the temple, she sees Simeon, and I'm filling in the blanks. This may not be totally accurate, but this is how I like to think of it. She sees Simeon handing the baby back to Mary. Mary has this strange look on her face. And then Anna comes up to them, giving thanks to God and sharing everything that she knows, all the good things that the babe is going to do for the people. She's sharing with everyone who will listen, even standing around Mary and Joseph, this is the Savior of the world, this babe right here. This is the child we've all been waiting for, the one who is going to save us from our sins. Phew, for poor Mary to go from pierce your soul to finally hear the good news of, I'm a part of a mission that is beyond more than I can imagine. I'm the mother of this child that's going to save the world. Here we have two very different people. Simeon, who approaches, who's telling the reality of, unfortunately, the sad side of the life of Christ. And now he's ready to die. Anna is an older woman. She's so excited. She has no intention of thinking about dying. She has so much to go out and tell anyone who come into the temple now. I've seen the Savior. I've seen him. I saw the Messiah. She is on a new mission now for Jesus. Well, Mary and Joseph, they have done everything they were supposed to do at this point in time as far as their stay in Bethlehem, and it is time for them to return to Galilee, their own town of Nazareth. So they leave and they go home, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. I'd like to, if I could, and I don't want to embarrass anyone, it is a story that I think, if we can look at it, what does it mean to us in 2018, right here for us in here in Chatsworth Church? I'd like to do a little illustration. And again, if you're uncomfortable with this, let me know. But I'd like to know if Kayla, would you mind coming up front for just a moment? You don't have to say anything, you just have to stand. Paul and Lila, would you two mind coming up front for just a moment? And Thomas, would you mind coming up front for just a moment? You don't have to speak, you just have to stand. We're talking about Mary, who was a young woman with child. What do we see here? A young woman with child. Tell me, Kayla, do you know everything there is to know about childbirth and raising a child?
No, I do not.
Hear that?
No, I do not.
She does not. She has a lot to learn. But if people come up to you and tell you things, you listen. You take it in. She's open to learning what she needs to know about being a mother. Now, what if someone told you your child is going to actually be a president of the United States one day? What would you think?
I wouldn't believe it.
When you finally got to a point of maybe considering it could be a possibility, how would that affect how you raise the child?
I would be scared and not know how to.
Okay. That's a very honest answer from a young woman who's going to be having a child and raising a child. Now, we have a young man who's a little older than the young woman who's been told, you have to marry somebody who's already with child, and this person is going to save the world. So I know I said you guys wouldn't talk, but it's working better by having you talk. Okay, so you're going to raise a child that's going to one day save the world. What do you think about that?
I would just be in shock.
In shock? Why are you in shock? Isn't that good news?
It's well, if I had a visitation from an angel like Joseph did, I would hope that I would be mature and have the faith that he had and embrace it and do the best that I could.
But it's a scary...
But I've never been approached by an angel, so if I was told that, I would be in shock.
It would be a very something to think about. Yes.
Thing.
Okay. Over here we have a mature woman and a mature man. And this man has been waiting his whole life just to see the Messiah. How have you lived your life while you're waiting? That was your one goal in life. So how have you lived your life while you're waiting?
The answer is there, but I just can't believe it. I mean, it's expectation. That's the word I'm looking for. In wonderment.
Yeah.
When is it going to happen?
Yeah.
Will I live long enough to see this? I've prayed to God, but will he answer my prayer?
And when he does and you see that, is that enough to say, wow, this was a life worth living?
If that's what I was looking for, yes.
Something to think about. All right, and then we have a mature woman here. She too has been spending her entire life fasting, praying for the Messiah to come and to see the Messiah. So how have you lived your life in anticipation of this?
At the temple. According to a book I read, she had been married 6 or 7 years and had lived in the temple for over 50 years. So I would be praying a lot. I would be probably witnessing to other people and really excited when I finally see the baby.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So people that come to the temple and say, you've been here your whole life. Why? What reason are you telling them?
Because I'm waiting for the Messiah. I believe that he will be coming, and I pray that I live long enough to see him.
Amen. Okay, thank you. You can go back to your seats. What was one word that you heard from all four people? Amazement, wouldn't believe it, shock, and wonder. That's human nature, isn't it? It doesn't matter whether it was 2,000 years ago or it was today. If an angel appears to us, we're going to be in shock. If the Holy Spirit appears to us in a dream and tells us we're going to be part of this plan, even if we wake up the next day, what are we going to think? Did I really have that dream? So what I'm trying to ask through this particular rest of the story with the Christmas story is, do you see what I see, which is, number one, miracle after miracle after miracle that happened throughout this whole story? Do you see all kinds of people who were looking for the awaited Messiah, some much longer than others? Do you see people who were obedient to the call of God, even though they might not have fully understood the big picture? Do you see people who recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? Did you see people who are faithful to God? So I want to ask you today, do we still live in a world where we see miracles? Do we live in a world where we see people who are looking and waiting for the Messiah? Do we see people who are obedient to God, even though they may not fully understand the big picture of when he's coming again? Do we see people who recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit and follow it in our church and our time here today? Do we see people who are faithful to God? Yes. Are we a part of the Christmas story? I think we are. I think we're the rest of the Christmas story. We are the people who are waiting for the second coming of the Messiah. And I hope that we never lose sight of that, and that we will wait no matter how long it takes, and that we will be faithful no matter whether we understand or not. And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above, as he leads his children on to the place where he is gone. He's coming back for you and me. Do you see what I see? A Savior who loves the world. A Savior who is coming to... He came to save us, and now he's coming back to get us. What a wonderful Savior he is. And I pray that we will all remain faithful to him until that day.